is Max.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you are awaited.
You Are Awaited is a Mad Max Fury Road podcast where two grown men sit in various places, talk about the film Mad Max, geek out, talk to cool people, watch 4 minutes at a time of the film Mad Max and discuss it. They just get crazy about this deliciously awesome film. And tonight, we have a special episode, Yuri.
We are getting crazy on the road, on the Fury Road. We are literally recording from Travis's automobile, his pursuit vehicle.
Yep.
We are traveling down Melrose Avenue.
And it's almost like we're in Mad Max. We're going about 1 mile an hour, and we're zipping
There's
along.
There's no sand anywhere.
Yep.
Nobody's trying to kill us.
No,
I mean, other than Los Angeles traffic
feels
in
very
general.
Safe. I feel very safe right now.
As do I. And yet, we're doing something dangerous, which is not dangerous at all. We're going to see the West Coast premiere of Black and Chrome at the Cine Family. Thank you. The fine folks at Cine Family and Spectre Vision. They're screening it. I think this is one of the last nights, if not the last night, of Spectre Fest, which is Spectre Vision's amazing oddball horror genre festival that they just came up with. I love the guys at Spectre Vision. I know they don't listen to this podcast.
Well, maybe they will after tonight. Maybe we'll make friends and they'll think, hey, those guys aren't total weirdos. I was telling Yuri earlier that I feel like a lot of our guest episodes follow the same structure, which is the people are like, I don't know these guys. They have a Mad Max Fury Road podcast. They've got to be geeks and weirdos. And then for about 15 minutes, they're real suspect of us. And then they're kind of like, oh, maybe these guys don't want to kill me or find out my home address. And then they're cool to us. So, you know, I think...
Which I can't guarantee either of those things are...
No, we fool them. We fool them. But it's nice. It's nice that we fool them. And it's nice that they talk to us about cool things.
It is true.
Anyway, I suggested to Yuri that maybe on the way there... Oh, this guy's real crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. Wow.
And here I was thinking nobody was trying to kill us.
No, that was a Mad Max Fury Road moment.
That was.
Guys, we're on the Fury Road for real.
We
messed up. The Yuri Road.
The Yuri Road.
We're going to do
that. I fucked it up again.
Yeah, same. Anyway, I suggested to Yuri that instead of doing a normal... Jesus, Lord, what's happening out here?
Holy shit.
You guys,
that's what I get for saying nobody's trying to kill us.
Oh, my God. We're on the Fury Road for real.
So you suggested that...
Anyway, that we do a pre-Black and Chrome warm-up sort of talk because we haven't really discussed what we think might be different or how our impressions might change, and I think that's interesting. So, Yuri,
yeah,
what do you think might be different? What do you think will change, and what specifically are you most excited about?
There's a part of me that was trying not to put too much on it or try to imagine it too much in my head as to what it would be. Hard not to do that. I don't know if it's going to give it an older feel, like a more classic, mythic feel than it does with the bright colors. You know, in just talking to Matt Bound the other day, or if we put this up, that it'll be next week. He said that, you know, one of the things they were looking at when they were designing props and vehicles for the film was how would it look in black and white.
Yeah.
That everything would be black and chrome so that.
That
you'd get the contrast and the amazingness of it.
That was really neat. We didn't decompress that beat, but the idea, I don't have a very visual mind, and it's hard for me to draw or paint or construct things. I don't have a very sort of 3D oriented mind. But when he said we chose and designed things that would have shadows in certain ways and have certain appearances, you know, that would register in a black and white capacity, I thought that was fucking fascinating.
Yeah, designing vehicles based sort of on the silhouettes that they would throw.
Yeah, it's such a cool idea. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
What are you looking?
One of the things, I haven't watched it all the way through.
Since we did it together, right?
Since maybe we did it
together. The George Miller thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to watch it all the way through again. But
I'm actually curious to see how it holds together.
The Cine Family traditionally has one of the best rooms, and by room I mean the people who are there all really want to be there and are so excited, and I'm excited to go see it with a bunch of people who are excited to see it.
Yeah, that's right. That feels exactly right. The last time we saw the Fury Road...
So it's not this one, but the next one.
Got it. Last time we saw Fury Road was a while ago. We've really processed a lot of the film since then. Mm-hmm. And I am wondering how these insights are going to play. I wonder if something else will come up for us that we can talk about. But specifically to the Black and Chrome, I really want to lean into this idea that we've kind of come up against talking to some people, and kudos to Kaylin Egan for bringing it up first, but this idea of this film coming out of the silent film tradition and seeing it in black and white may, again, and leaning into something else we've been talking a lot about, this idea of subconscious storytelling, what seeps into your brain without you consciously putting it there. There is a sense that this maybe black and white situation may subconsciously put us back into this black and white world, because most of the black and white films I've seen, with some notable exceptions in Citizen Kane and stuff, have been silent sort of films, physical oriented films.
So drive slow, because if you see anything over here,
yep,
parking wise, grab it. Like, that guy just stole our spot.
Motherfucker, I'm gonna fury road you.
Oh wait. Wait, he just went away.
Can I just take it? Oh, he can't get in there.
Oh, there's, it's red.
Yeah.
That's why.
Anyway, this is an interesting thing happening now for podcasters. So,
right.
Anything else we should cover before we sign off here?
Yeah, I would just say I also haven't had a lot of. There it is.
We should take a picture of that.
We are going to make it right here. I would say that I have not. Last night was a bad night of sleep for me.
Okay.
So I'm just hoping that I don't fall asleep. That would be the worst.
Do we have a deal? So, if you fall asleep, is there something I should say to
you? I'm fired. We won't finish the podcast.
Okay. Well, that seems a little rash. I was just saying, should I wake you up in a certain way? Because clearly I'm going to wake you up.
Yeah, just punch me.
Okay, that's not. All right.
All right, guys.
Stay tuned to see if Yuri gets punched in the face.
Stay tuned. We will see you after the movie.
Rather not. And we're back. We're back on the what?
We just did it.
We watched it. We watched it, and it was of course, we're on the back patio of Cine Family.
I just want to say a thing I just overheard a man say to set the stage for you.
Yes.
He goes, "You know Jessica. Jessica, the one who usually has a mohawk. She hangs out with the Dukes of the Nukes." And I was like, "Yeah, that's the right crew."
So we are absolutely with the right gang out here, guys. Y'all.
Also, I want to go on record as saying there are three women here out of an entire theater.
Yeah, I know. You know, what are you gonna do?
It doesn't lend credence to our "it's just for women"
theory. Right. So That was never a theory, but...
Well, it was my hope.
Yeah,
hope,
but it was my hope that there would be more women here.
So, playing a video game? Is that right?
I guess so, yeah. Spectrevision is putting out a video game, and it's back here, and we'll look at that eventually. But let's talk for a second about what we just saw.
Hit me. Tell me everything.
It was in black and white.
You're so excited.
It was. I know. It was. I love you. Here, we're just gonna hug it out for a second,
and our mics are gonna click together.
That's our first hug we've ever had on a podcast.
Is that our first hug?
Well, it's weird.
We waited till tonight.
Well, if you're in public, you can hug. If it's just us two in your back room,
okay, that's just weird.
Because when Tara comes in and sees us hugging, it's super weird.
She suspects even worse, I'm sure.
No.
So first impressions.
Yeah. Go.
It's it was uglier and more brutal and more low tech for me. It felt more like an independent film, lower budget film.
I agree 100%.
To me.
Can we get away from that music?
Yeah, we can get away from that. You're the audio. You're the audio. Sorry, right? We are near the thing.
I totally agree with that. We're like really, really. I moved it to a closer.
Well, you moved this to a different speaker. There's speakers all over the place. That's all right. It'll be background.
Super, super like gritty.
Yeah.
Here's my initial instinct just to call the whole thing is that certain things I thought were much cooler looking.
Certain things popped more for me.
The boys,
are
super dope in black.
And the faces of the Vivellini with the age and the cracks and everything, they were gorgeous. It was like who's the there's a photographer who photographs.
You're right.
People with,
I don't know the name.
I don't know. I'm not a photographer guy. Right.
Yeah, but there's a scene. There's so many scenes I didn't catch what they were doing. And this one I did more. I can't say I caught everything, but there's a scene with not old Boney, but a different one. No, it is old Boney. He's talking to the Dag.
Yeah.
And the contrast between their two faces is this beautiful shot where the Dag is so pure and white and pristine.
Yeah.
And literally, they split the frame. On the right side of the frame is the Dag, and the left side of the frame is old Boney, the keeper of the seats, because I know their names now. It's just an old blackened face and a pristine young white face, and it was just like this remarkable photo. Just a great still shot. I loved it.
And you will be happy to know that. So this is, I guess, this is eight for me. Number eight, the eighth time.
Okay, that sounds right.
It finally have you done this before many times? Made absolute sense, clear as day to me.
Tell me.
He's referring to, have you tried to escape?
Yeah. Have you run before?
But this is my best shot.
Like many times, but now that I have a war ring, this is going to be the best shot.
I love it.
And I was like, oh, of course. How could I have?
Yeah. You know? It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I clued into that this time too, and I still wasn't sure, but I think you nailed it. I think
you've done it. All right. High five.
It's hard to hear the high five in this room, guys.
I know. It's just a whole bunch of people high five and stuff.
You know what's weird is I feel like an FBI agent because no one knows we're podcasting.
No, I know where we're like. Yeah, I know.
We're sort of.
An undercover.
I almost want to go interview people, I don't know that we'll get anything helpful out of it.
I don't know. I think we should. I think we should get people's impressions.
Let's do it.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Then I have a lot more to say. But we should get some people's impressions, and then we should go somewhere quieter and then we'll talk about it.
Sure. We do a weekly Fury Road podcast, and we're just gonna run around and try to get people's impressions on just having seen this. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great.
What did you think about it?
It was awesome. I've seen the film four or five times. Yeah. The theater.
I assumed that most of the people here tonight had already seen the film at least once.
Yeah.
What was different? I mean, we were kind of discussing what we felt was different, or what was better or worse, or.
I definitely think that the way it was shot lent to the lack of color. Like, having it in black and white made it much more of a noir film in it, like in the shots and in the transitions from like scene to scene. Where like in the beginning, where it's just the scene to show what was it. That like the war boy that Nux was like low. He had a low blood war. Low, and then. Yeah, like that, just showing that shot and then going back, like not really just saying it and then showing Max get dropped. And like that was it for the shot. And it just made it much different in tone than when it was in color for some reason. Like, I just paid more attention to that moment and was like, that was weird to just show that for like a minute and then go back to the scene on the road. Made it look like much better in my opinion. And then the night scenes I thought were great.
Right.
Like the day for night scenes in the colored film. It's
you
obvious.
You can tell that it's regulated.
It was, like I said, it gave it a much more noir feel when it was like in black and white. And I thought it looked much better in that way.
Wow, so better than even the color.
So, yeah. Right.
It's interesting to me that, I mean, knowing the reasons that Miller like wanted to have this version shown, as he said himself, was just that he noticed one day, he asked his editor to show him like a black and white cut of a scene, like a dupe cut of it, just so that he could see what it was like. It's interesting to me that he didn't shoot the movie necessarily with black and white in mind. You know, I've heard that happening, like with the one of my favorite Overlook films, The Man Who Wasn't There, by the Coen Brothers.
Yes, love it. Yes,
they shot that obviously in black and white, but the studio insisted that they actually shoot it in color. So I don't know if you know, there's a color version of that exists.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They shot that film in color on color stock.
I didn't realize that.
And actually, there's a Region 3 release that I actually bought imported. The only release in the world that has a second disc of the color version of that film.
What?
Now it's incredibly muted color, like it's nearly black and white, like it's not very vibrant because they did that very deliberately. Again, they intended to shoot in black and white. The studio was like, well, we need a color copy just in case, or we want to, it doesn't make enough money, but stupid reason. So they're like, all right. So there is this really, really rough color version of it that is so washed out, it's almost black and white, but they shot that with black and white in mind. It's interesting to me that Miller didn't necessarily shoot this with black and white in mind. And yet when he saw like a cut of one scene black and white, he was like, oh, this actually works really well. Because, you know, I mean, black and white is such a different...
Sure.
When you're composing black and white, you're choosing the tones.
Right.
Very deliberately for black and white than color. So it's interesting that it really looks this good in black and white.
You might be happy to know that we interviewed one of the guys who did the props. He did Iota's guitar. He did the flamethrower guitar. He did Furious's arm.
And
a lot of the motorcycles. Yeah. And he said that George Miller actually told them, he must have had the idea early off and off.
He said
we need the vehicles to cut great silhouettes. We need a lot of chrome so that when the light hits it, so if I want to do it this way.
All the motorcycles at least to be layered and have those sort of shadows and those silhouettes that work in black and white.
Well, I think just as a talented artist, he knows that even if you're not necessarily like definitely going to do things in black and white or not, that strong silhouettes. I'm a graphic designer, illustrator, so is Natalie. And so like, you know that, like, cutting a good silhouette and just keeping things black and white is always smart.
I think you're right. I bet you the studio told him up front, no black and white. So I bet he never thought it was a possibility.
Right.
And so they shot it in color from the get-go. But to hear the designers release in the back of their head thinking and, like, sort of planning for it a little bit is cool, because now we get to see the sort of fruits of that labor. Yeah.
And it's funny when you hear people, like, I've got friends, even that are other film geeks that are knowledgeable enough about it, that go, but why bother? Like, you can just turn down the color on your TV. And it's like, do you not understand the way that, like, mastering and color correcting work? Yeah. Like, it's not just turning off the color. Like, you're...
The answer to that is no, they don't.
They don't. Right. But it's frustrating. You're like, you claim to be a student of film, but you don't understand, like, the difference there and why someone would do this all these different ways. And it's like, here's why. Like, behold the beauty of quality black and white film.
Behold the black and chrome version.
Tell us your names,
just
so we have.
I'm Ethan Harper.
Awesome.
Natalie Hall.
Thank you guys for
indulging us.
And you guys, what's the podcast?
It's called You Are Awaited. It's a Mad Max Fury Road podcast. We've been doing it weekly for almost a year. We watch 4 minutes of the film at a time, and then do an episode on the 4 minutes, and then occasionally we'll have a guest episode where we talk to somebody who worked on the film or somebody who has a thing.
I'm super into
nice!
It.
Nice!
Oh, stop it. Is that real?
Yeah.
Guys, we picked the right person. We're going to take a picture of
him. At You Are Awaited is the Twitter handle, but you can, it's easy to easy to find the podcast if you just type in You Are Awaited. So great. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the night. Gentlemen,
are you guys with a podcast for Mad Max?
Yeah, we do a Mad Max Fury Road podcast.
I kind of wanted to find someone that I could talk to.
Yes, please.
So Black and Chrome that came out on the internet, that leaked out on the internet last year.
Yeah.
I'm the maker of that.
Stop it!
Yeah.
We found a good person.
Because we didn't get to it in time.
Oh, well.
Tell us your name again.
I'm Matt.
Matt Caron. Matt Caron.
I was kind of hoping that tonight was going to be like we would see it without dialogue.
I know, we were waiting for that too.
Yeah.
But we hear that's coming very soon.
Oh, because I have my version.
Right, I'm sure you do.
You do. I wasn't sure if anyone was actually going to be here from the actual crew or movie or anything.
We have nothing to do with that or with the movie directly, but we've interviewed a lot of people who worked on the movie, and we do this podcast weekly, which is awesome. Insane in its own right. How was it watching, because you created the version that you put up, right?
So basically when the Blu-ray came out and I found out, they weren't going to release the black and white
We were all very sad.
I was like, well, I'm going to just do it myself. And Phil here was my boss at the time, and we both worked as editors. And
it's a spell, guys.
And so I just spent a lot of late nights at work, and I mean, I just made it very basic black and white, but then I took the surround sound mix and re-sound designed that to remove the dialogue.
Wow. He just admitted to using company time to
it was okay. It was always after hours. He was there on weekend. He worked a lot of weekends working on this project. It was a total labor of love for him.
So and it was a lot of fun because you got to. It was a really good study in how that film was edited and the sound design, of course, which is just amazing. The version I had to make, unfortunately, I couldn't keep it 5:1 surround. I had to squish it down into stereo. But it was a really good study and just like learning about like every little piece. And so even when I rewatch it now, it's like I know like every single sound effect that's gonna like cue in or the music cue. It's just because I love Mad Max. I love this movie.
Yes, so do we. That's why we did this podcast. Because we believe this film holds up to intense scrutiny.
Which we're doing to it.
Your version was better though than what we saw tonight, right? I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I kind of had to fudge some things.
Sure.
There were times that. So I also re-synced the entire soundtrack to the music that was already in there.
Wow.
So sometimes you can hear it phases in and out of sync just because it couldn't match up exactly perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to get it as close as possible, and then I emphasized the music more, so I kept that on the louder side. I don't know. There's moments where I was like, maybe I'll just tweak this a little bit. But I tried to stay as true to the original sound mix
But I love that. But I love that. But I love that you pulled the dialogue out. We're still waiting to see that cut.
Did Mark Mangini say that they were going to re-edit it when they did the silent version? Because he alluded to it. We interviewed the sound designer of the film.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And he was saying that it's in process, right?
But yeah. That we will see that version.
Cool.
It will probably be. They'll probably release the Blu-ray with the black and chrome, and then they'll release another Blu-ray, like a master edition, with that version. And I'll buy all of them. Yeah. But
weren't they going to recut some of it? Is that right? Did I miss you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't remember that.
Well, I mean, watching it without dialogue, there definitely are scenes where you're just watching two people talk, but that's such a minor part of the film that you still get the general story. Yeah. Especially with, when they meet the many mothers, you kind of get a sense that, something's not quite right. You don't know that they didn't find the green place exactly, that they have to go back or they passed it necessarily. But you see that sadness in Furiosa, and the music swells up at that point. Yeah. So you still get the main themes and ideas.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Well, having worked through this, what do you think works better in black and white? Just specifically for black and white, what do you think works better in black and white? What do you think works worse? What do you miss? What do you see in this that you didn't see in the color version?
Well, the black and white definitely emphasizes some of the visual effect shots. You can see some of the matte lines around some of the compositing. I love the look of black and white already, so it's hard to really decide. But then again, it's just when you watch it in color, it's so teal and orange that they are almost, I guess, the colorized black and white, because it's just such opposite and everything pops and complements itself. So
teal and orange makes your brain happy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Trying to think. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only detriment to the black and white version that I can really think of is, you can see the VFX shots a little more, obviously.
Right.
I think both are great.
So. I love the War Boys especially. The thing I couldn't stop looking at in this version. They popped so hard on this.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Vavolini, we're just talking about the wives and the Vavolini together, pop a lot harder in this version for me. I was catching stuff I didn't catch before, just those distinctions and those contrasts. And then the War Boys, and especially they come back to the Citadel, all those shots are so beautiful in black and white. I was really surprised by how I thought it'd be kind of different and kind of cool. Some of the shots were very different for me, aggressively different.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, awesome.
Agreed.
One thing that I noticed with this black and white version, I didn't do it in mine, but during the daylight scenes, it's slightly more warmer tones, a little sepia, almost like they had that silver tin type print. Mm-hmm. And then at the night, during the night scenes, they slightly tinted it blue, purplish, kind of like what they would have done back in the old days. So,
awesome.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, I'm so glad that you were there.
And you guys,
that you were here for this. Yeah. The podcast is called You Are Awaited. Cool. You just type that at iTunes. I'm sure you'll find it. Or at You Are Awaited on Twitter.
Great.
Also, where can people find your newest version? Is this something?
I didn't repost it.
Right.
Because obviously, it got taken down.
Sure.
But I think it's still out there in the internet.
Somebody pulled it.
Yeah.
It's definitely on those hidden sites.
Right.
Yeah.
If you look around, you can probably
guys, just
find
look
it.
Around. Look yeah. around.
Yeah. I mean, they're only dealing with a very compressed 720 stereo mix. So it's not going to be the greatest quality at this point, but you can at least get the gist.
Get your fix, guys.
It's just a good study in how that movie was really put together, and it's great.
So. Outstanding.
Thank you so much,
outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for being an awesome boss, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, keep using company time for cool stuff.
Yeah. Bye.
Can we jump in? We do a weekly Mad Max Fury Road podcast, if you can believe that something like that exists. And we were so excited to be here tonight.
That's awesome.
And we just wanted to talk. How'd you feel that? Because obviously you had seen it before tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for being instrumental in bringing it to a screen that we could actually see in a theater.
Sure.
And to SpectraVision in general.
Thank you.
I love what you guys do.
Thank you so much.
So absolutely. How did you feel?
I was blown away.
Right.
You shoved microphones
tiny,
in his face.
The tiniest microphone in the world in his face.
No, I feel like I actually liked it more in black and white, and I loved the movie to begin with. But it was so fascinating to have such a controlled experiment of watching a film in color and then watching the same film in black and white and seeing how different it is. And when it's in black and white, it's less literal, and it allows it to exist in more of a dream place, or like a fantasy, or it's more surreal, it's more removed from reality, and for me it played a little bit more like a fable and less like an action.
I thought the same thing. It felt like a myth the whole time.
Yeah,
and that's something we've been talking about a lot in the podcast. But I had the exact same reaction.
Yeah,
it's very mythic in Black and White.
Very mythic. Yeah, and some of the things that maybe bothered me a little about the film initially, things that seemed over the top and color, now that were just kind of part of the wash.
Yeah,
they didn't. I just accepted everything because it's a fable, and I don't know how things work in fable world.
Right.
Yeah. So I loved it. What did you guys think?
Outstanding. Loved it as well.
Yeah. We're still parsing it, but I'm happy you said that. That was the one thing I want to talk about the most, was that mythic quality really came out in a way that it hadn't. And we've been talking a lot about the subtle mythic qualities of it and the storytelling of it.
Yeah.
But that really pops a lot. And there's visual things that popped harder for me this time.
Yeah. Certain things stand out in a way that they don't in the color version.
The only thing I missed a little bit, and we haven't talked about this yet, but one thing I missed was some of the background details, which are so rich. The production design is so solid in this movie. I didn't catch all of the details that I've come to sort of appreciate and love in the color version.
Yeah.
But that, in terms of a trade-off, it's a fine trade-off.
But what I'm hearing tonight is people saying that they had a much deeper emotional response.
Interesting.
They felt more connected to the characters and the characters' conundrums, and I would argue that it's because they're not thinking about all those little production details.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah,
I do.
It leaves space in the psyche to process different things. You know?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely.
What's the name of your
podcast? It's called You Are Awaited.
You Are Awaited?
You Are Awaited, yeah.
Awaited, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's at You Are Awaited on Twitter.
Okay.
And You Are Awaited at Gmail.
Will you, when this goes up, tweet at SpectreVision?
We absolutely will. We already tweeted you guys a couple times tonight, in preparation. We were just so excited.
Okay.
We'll definitely.
Yeah,
outstanding.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Are you Yuri?
Yes.
I'm Ann Mangini, Mark's wife.
Stop it!
Oh,
my God! Oh, my God!
Mark was supposed to be here tonight.
No!
And he's sick.
No! Wait, tell him to feel better.
Please tell him we said hi.
Wow.
Killer. I'm really happy at the reaction of some of the people we spoke to.
Me too.
I think that they actually echo a lot of my sensibilities about how I feel.
Yeah.
But which we should dig into, I think. So, listeners, Yuri and I are now walking to the car.
Walking.
We've had a lovely night.
Yes.
We each had 4 shots of whiskey.
You're a liar. You're a damn liar.
That's also a lie. I'm so sorry. I just thought it'd be cool. Make it seem cooler.
I feel like I need some whiskey and a cigarette.
Sometimes I try to make it sound cooler than we are, because we're doing a Mad Max podcast here. just give me something.
Right.
Man.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm trying to be a cool guy. I really want to echo. What is the last guy we spoke to? The SpectreVision guy?
I don't remember his name.
Should have asked him.
But
anyway, one of the guys who helped fund SpectreVision.
Yeah, he was the guy who introduced the film tonight.
Yeah.
One of the three partners in SpectreVision, who is, it's that guy. There was the other guy who was talking to Mark Mangini's wife, and Elijah Wood.
Okay, right.
And they have been doing excellent work with this.
Yeah, check them out, guys, if you haven't checked them out.
Production company and their
his point about it, the mythic feel of it, I couldn't echo that more aggressively. I really felt that. And also the point about the details being a little lost, but the emotional connection being more structured and strong.
That was interesting, because I was going to also comment on the fact that there were details in there that were just, it was just so dark in some places that you missed that.
Yeah, so you felt the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
I think, it's okay, right? Let me just launch into this part of the conversation with this question.
Okay.
Gun to your head, which version?
The color version.
Okay, same. I do too. I feel like, for our podcast purposes, it is really helpful to have watched this for 2 reasons. One, it was really cool to actually go back and watch it from the beginning, because there's so much I want to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
So much shit we fucked up, and so much shit we got right. It's a complete shit show. It's like a complete melange of details, that some of which we've got right, some of which we've so cocked up. And to watch it from the beginning, knowing all the characters very well now, and tracking them from the beginning of the movie when I didn't know them as well, and seeing how they play, that's a whole conversation.
Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Okay, there are definitely certain things that I saw this time because it was black and white that I did not see, or, you know, didn't catch, or not as clearly and you know, watching it in the color version. Or maybe it's just because now I've seen it 8 times, I'm just going to see some different things.
Yeah, I was trying to parse out the things that were things I'm recognizing because I hadn't seen the movie in its completion in a long time.
You know, I noticed something, and I might be reading into it, but I'm gonna once again give credit to George Miller and or the actress. When Max first drives off in the war rig and leaves them all to die in the desert.
Yeah.
Splendid is watching the rig go, yeah. And she goes to put her hands up on her head like, oh fuck, what are we gonna? And she almost starts to make the V8, and she almost forces herself to not do it because.
Oh, I like that.
She just can't bring herself to even do the symbol.
That's very interesting. Don't doubt that for 1 second. That performance and that character is better than I understood. Whilst doing the episodes about her stuff, the idea that she was the one who first. Sort of put this idea in their heads that we're not things.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the she's like the head wife, and the power of that performance, and the power of that character are really good. I mean, it's really cohesive.
Yeah.
This is hard to do in a screenplay, I think. It's cohesive, it's direct, it's strong, and it's sparse.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of time for character development in this film, but they really do a good job of making complete narrative characters.
Yeah.
These wives. I think it's really, really smart.
Are you walking me to my favorite clothing store?
Yeah. We're going to...
We're walking down Melrose Avenue for those of you who... It's a real place.
We're on Melrose Avenue, kids.
We're not a Melrose
home
place.
Of Pretty Woman. I think we had similar reactions to it. That I do think it's just more beautiful in color. And here's what I think. If it was a... 1 year development process instead of a 14-year development process.
Yeah.
I think it might work better in black and white because it would hide some of the stuff you couldn't see. The emotional reaction would be strong. It would feel more mythic. It would feel sharper. All the blood, though. I can't emphasize this, guys. The War Boys look fucking badass in black and white. Is this your favorite clothing store?
Actually, two. It's Moods of Norway is right here. It's right next to G Star Raw, which is my jam.
Yeah, that is your go-to.
Yeah.
So I think that development process worked against the black and white a little bit because they were able to pepper the background and the world with so much detail.
Yeah.
That I did kind of miss that. I kind of missed the detail.
But we've seen it so many times, it was okay to watch it once like this. Although I tell you what, I bet you I will like this version better when they pull the dialogue out of it somehow.
I think you're right.
I know that seems like a little thing. Here, watch out. But
guys,
we're
trying not to die on the Fury Road again.
Right.
Constant problems. But
I think somehow that will be a thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's something very interesting. We're in the car now, guys. We're in the car. There's something totally interesting about the idea of this without dialogue. Because I have something else I want to ask you, too, in regards to that. But I think this... I really believe now that the storytelling... does get done very, very well without dialogue. I think it really, really tells itself, especially in the sort of mythic black and white version. I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Adjust my microphone.
Ask me this question.
My question is this. Is the opening monologue different in this version, or did I just make that up?
I don't think so. I think you're just making it up.
Fuck me. It seemed longer and different to me.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember it, do I?
Yeah, well, maybe not. It's been a while since we've seen it.
But nothing caught you. Nothing dialogue-wise caught you as different.
I did hear something differently.
I heard something toward the beginning.
I love now that we got to sort of play back through, and everybody, and you know, it is just Slit who's like, mediocre Morozov!
Yeah.
And also, because now we know his name's Morozov,
He's the guy who swings around.
Well, Morozov is the guy he grabs. He's like, Morozov! And he catches he catches him and saves him.
Super smart. Can I tell you, speaking of that, the character that I really loved in this version, slash watching it through, Slit's fucking awesome.
I know.
He's so good.
I know.
That character is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's something I would argue you almost could not possibly get on a first, second, or third view. Because he's doing nuance, and you don't understand the character enough,
because there's so much going on in this film,
yeah,
to understand the nuance of the performance he's giving.
Yep.
But he's this fucking rebellious, cantankerous war boy,
yep,
who doesn't give a fuck, who's like, just wants to have a good death, he wants to fight, he wants to, like, live his life.
He's a dog.
He's a dog, and it's so interesting to watch that pretty complete character when you understand the thing. And for me, it was this the way into it, thank you, Paul Cantrell, was understanding that everyone's like, yes, you fucking did it. Oh, Morsov, you're the fucking best. And this one guy's like, you suck.
Yeah, I know.
It's great. Like, it's such a good detail. But the problem is, at that point in the film, you're still understanding the world. And so, yeah, you know, when you're trying to understand what the world is, having a counter voice is just muddy. If you don't understand the world yet, I think. You don't clock it the same way.
Yeah. Again, this film rewards multiple viewings.
It really does. It makes me sad for people who've only seen it.
Who've only seen it the one time.
I wanted to hug them and be like, hey, you're fucking up your life. Get it sorted out.
But guess what? Just think of how exciting it is that they get to then watch it over and over and over again after the first time.
If they want to. I mean, I feel if you've only seen it once and you've just decided... First of all, if you've only seen it once, you're not listening to this podcast. So
right.
I feel like it's safe to say it's all people who have seen it, you know, at least three times.
Yeah.
I just feel like sad for them because I think they're only getting a part of an experience. It's like if you don't read a full book.
Yeah.
You're missing out, you fucking assholes.
Once again, berating the people who listen to this show.
No, there are our friends in this one.
I know.
It's your friends, listeners, who are fucking up their lives. Your friends who've only seen this movie once or not at all, sort them out, man. It's your job to go out there and be like, listen. Listen, dicks. Listen, you fucking cocksucker friends. You gotta sort your lives out. See this movie 3 to 5 times. Okay.
To start.
Then listen
to our show and then see it 3 to 5 more times.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think that's too aggressive.
No.
I don't want the reputation on this podcast of being the jerk who's always yelling at people, but fuck you. Fuck you guys.
You're gonna have to yell pretty loud to clear all the yelling that I do on this podcast.
That's true. You do yell quite a bit. Although I've gotten any feedback about who curses more?
No, we haven't got any feedback on that.
All right. Well, clearly it's
somebody somebody tally that shit.
Someone look it up.
So this is coming out. They said December 8th, December 10th,
December 8th,
December 8th.
On Blu-ray.
Will be released with this version that we saw tonight.
Which, by the way, was the world premiere, we found out, guys.
Yeah.
This was the world premiere of the Black and Chrome edition. So you can be assured of one thing. Your podcast hosts are on it. We're really trying hard, you guys. Which we really are,
for you.
Yeah, it's mainly for you.
For you and for entry into Valhalla.
Yeah, that's what we want. I feel like... Was there anything else we should cover?
You know, this may be the only show where I actually have to, like, go and edit. So, this may take a little extra.
We're going to have to... Guys, we may edit this. We're going to have to. Because we talked
to a bunch of people after the film. And we didn't use all of them,
I feel like. Yeah. So, just know that this is some edit points. We weren't embarrassed of what we said.
We're not cutting anything that is incriminating.
Or good.
Or embarrassing. We're not cutting... Yeah, I promise. If anything's cut, it's because it just wasn't good.
All right, so I feel
that's why
happy.
We don't cut anything from the show regularly is because it's all gold.
It's all fucking gold, and you guys know it. You guys fucking know it. We'll go. I think see the Black and Chrome edition when you
Glory
can.
Glory be buy that. Yeah, buy that. Buy the new
check
version.
It out. It really does give you an emotional resonance. I'm surprised by. I think it's an emotional resonance you don't get from the color film. And I also do think that there are certain visual images that are a lot more beautiful in black and white.
Yeah,
I mean,
stronger.
Striking. Yeah. Really good. So that's our review of the Black and Chrome, I suppose.
I suppose it is. That was fun. Thanks for joining us on this journey out into the world tonight.
Yeah, we really left our confines. We're really branching out, guys. Join us when we do a week-long road trip.
Oh, God. My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you are awaited. And I can't find the button on the... It's dark.